Welcome, and thanks for listening to Intrinsic Investigations. My name is Mr. Olivo, and I created this podcast because I've been fortunate enough over the last decade to see unique and thought-provoking projects happen in my classroom, and we wanted a place to showcase them. The true heart of this podcast lies not in the content discovered, but in exploring the personal stories of these young researchers as they journey through uncharted and unfamiliar intellectual terrain. By sharing their stories, we hope to normalize the challenges and frustrations that come with independent research, and also share those moments where students transcend the normal grind of the school day to discover concepts that range from the global to deeply personal. We will begin with a brief introduction to the student of focus, why they picked their topic, and discuss their growth over the course of the last year. It should be mentioned that the opinions expressed in this podcast in no way reflect the opinions of our school district, Bergen County Technical Schools and Special Services, or our school itself, Bergen County Technical High School Teterboro, or the College Board. The work detailed in this podcast was most likely completed in AP Capstone, but this podcast is in no way affiliated with the College Board. My guest for this episode is Claire, who examined the use of the English language in domestic Korean advertising. Take a listen. I know that every time I ask students to introduce themselves, they just say what major they are and what grade they are. But if you want to elaborate on that, feel free.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Clara Lee. I am currently in 11th grade at Bergen County Technical High School. And I'm in the Strategic Asset Management major, but it's not just asset management, but we learn a lot of different fields in business, including strategy, derivatives trading, and stock trading. And outside of that, I also do a lot in music. So I play the flute, and I've been playing that since I was 8 years old. And I've done a lot of performance, competition, research, outreach in that area too. So I think those are the two things that would be beneficial to know about me for now.
Great. There will be no fluting involved in the research you're going to do.
No, though. Unfortunately. Not today.
Not today. Maybe in the future.
There has been other, but another time.
Perhaps. All right. What was the nature of your work for this year in research?
Yeah. So for my AP research class, I focused on English mixing in Korean advertisement. So what English mixing is, in the easiest terms possible, it's just using English within another language, whether that be Mandarin, Spanish, just any other language in general. But I've purposely focused on Korean because I myself am Korean and I watch a lot of Korean contents, whether it may be K-pop, Korean dramas, Korean TV shows, or just basic Korean slang that I've heard when I use Korean with other people. And from that, I've noticed there's a lot of English being used in Korean media. Like, it's kind of a trend right now.
Okay.
To the point where there's even a term coined for it called Konglish. And it's basically just Korean English. So it's so engraved into the culture right now that there's even a term for it. And I thought it would be interesting to see how that plays in advertisements because I'm an avid K-pop fan. I listen to a lot of K-pop. And when I listen to a lot of K-pop now especially, there's a lot of English in it. But I wanted to focus on advertisements because the main difference is that in K-pop, it's a lot more geared towards a global audience. They want to get more fans internationally. Whereas if you're looking at Korean advertisements, they're mainly for the domestic South Korean person who may not be as skilled in English. And so I thought it would be interesting to see how English mixing is used in that and then connecting to see if there's economic value to using English in advertisements. So I compared the English usage in advertisements to the coinciding stock value change in the time where the advertisement was released to see that if there is any correlation, thus any economic value associated with English mixing.
Wow. Okay. In the time that you have noticed the while watching Korean television, have you noticed, or I guess when did you notice the increase in the use of the English language, or has it just suddenly appeared?
Yeah, I think, well, it has been very relevant since a while ago. I feel like the most biggest wave of it was kind of during the Gangnam Style era when Korean culture really started getting popular in the U.S. especially. But I think a lot of it comes during COVID and after BTS became very, very popular in the US after they got number one on Billboard for their first song that was in full English. And after that, there was a lot more talk about groups putting out more music in English. Like, there's a lot of songs right now that it is Korean artists that aren't fluent in English, but the songs will be completely in English. And a lot of that has to do with, well, sometimes it's they make more money promoting overseas rather than in Korea. So it's better for their music to be in English so that it's more approachable, I would say, to a wider audience. And just me, myself, listening to it, a lot of it is in English, so that when I have friends who aren't Korean listening to the songs, they're able to sing along to a big part of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming we're talking about, I could be wrong here, my K-pop knowledge isn't great, but I'm going to assume we're talking about Dynamite.
Yeah.
In terms of the first BTS song that was fully in English.
Yeah.
Which, oddly enough, my younger son was into Idol by them.
Oh.
Prior to that. Which... That whole, the entire song is in Korean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for maybe like one or two words.
Yeah. Okay. So now your work didn't focus on K-pop necessarily. I think you wanted to do something involving K-pop initially. Do you want to discuss what your initial idea was and then how you shifted into more the advertising realm?
Yeah. So I wanted to do more in line with K-pop, but at first, I was looking more into like the musical and lyrical elements of it, whereas it would be like lyric repetition and more of diction rather than the effects that it would have on the listeners. But then while I was looking through literature and past research in K-pop English mixing, I came across a paper by Malian Kai in 2013, I want to say, that he focused on both K-pop and Korean advertisements. And so I feel like because it's not something that I really looked into yet, looking into Korean advertisements did seem very interesting because it is different in that it looks into the domestic South Korean average person. And so while I looked into more information on that, a lot of the past research that I found, it had a lot to do with more just the language that they were using and also public opinion on it. But there wasn't really any research saying, oh, is it actually more valuable for the companies who are putting more money into using translation and hiring people in linguistics to work on these advertisements using more English? So I think I wanted to focus more on the marketing aspect of it, which is something that I am interested in.
And specifically, it's the domestic marketing. These are ads for the people of South Korea. They're not really going outside of that.
Yeah.
So when you tried to approach this, what kind of ads did you choose and how did you go about picking those ads?
Yeah, so I specifically focused on some of the biggest companies in South Korea, mainly because they did have more advertisements to choose from. So companies that many people may know, like Samsung, LG, Hyundai, and I also focused on KakaoTalk. And so all of these companies, they do make a lot of ads that are also geared for a global audience. However, how I tried to focus on ads that were specifically in Korean, first, I made sure that the channel name and the title of the ad were all in Korean.
Okay.
Just looking at the title alone, because if it's in Korean, then it's probably not made for the average American or German or someone outside of Korea. So first looking at the title, and then I would look into the advertisement itself to clarify that it is mostly in Korean, or I'd look in the description box to see that all the information was in Korean. And then if I had to go the extra step, sometimes I would go a bit further and go online and research the details of the campaign or the product that it was advertising so that I can see that it was a campaign taking place in Korea, not somewhere else in the world.
Okay. And then you tried to correlate this with, was it stock performance? You were trying to see, so if they invested the resources in making a Konglish ad, would that then lead to some kind of payoff, essentially?
Yeah.
And what did you find?
So how I did this, I looked at the release date of each advertisement, and then I looked at the stock value from a month before to a month after in that company's stock of the release date of the advertisement. However, this is a bit iffy in that, of course, as you may know, stocks, they don't only take into account one thing. They take into account a lot of the things that are happening within the company, but also geopolitical issues that may be happening outside of the company or with a different company that may be associated with this one. And so it is the kind of an iffy way to measure it. However, I didn't really have many other options available to me. I really wanted to look into quarterly revenues or monthly revenues if that was available. And it was to some extent when I looked into Naver.com, which is basically like the Google of South Korea. All the information is on there. And so Naver stock is kind of like Yahoo Finance in a sense.
Yeah.
And when I looked on there, there would be quarterly and monthly revenues. However, it would only go back to 2022, meaning that a lot of the information before that would be privatized. So it wasn't publicly available to me, which is why I had to resort to stock performances. So what I would do, I would look at the stock change from a month before to a month after, see the percentage, and then also count the instances of English in the advertisement and kind of make a linear regression from that to see if there was any correlation that was visible. What I found was that it was a very, very, very weak correlation. However, it does kind of have a negative correlation in that the more English that's used, there isn't as great of a stock performance. However, it was a very rough correlation, but it was kind of the first attempt in this field to see some economic value in English. So I hope that it does go further from there.
To summarize, based on what you're seeing, there was, and again, I think it's important that you acknowledge the limitations that you were working with. You didn't have publicly, there was privatized finances, financial information that you didn't have access to. So really the only thing you could use for the correlational study was essentially the stocks and the amount of English you used in the ads that you analyzed and then their performance.
Yeah.
So the correlation was very weak, but it was and it was negative. It was a negative, weak correlation with the use of the English language.
Yes.
So as more English is used in the ads, again, there's a very weak dip in stock performance. But that could have been due to multiple other things.
Yeah. All
right, so how, when you saw that, and you're thinking about how you, you know, have just in your own life have been seeing more and more English usage, did you expect to see growth with the use of the English language? Was this surprising? How did you respond to that data?
Well, there were multiple different aspects that aren't really the goal of my project that I did notice. So one thing would be just the prevalence of English in advertisements in general, because it's so prevalent in South Korea too. Like, they think, there's a lot of research going back to how a lot of South Koreans think that using English, it's very modern, it's very trendy. So I did see that a lot of English was used, but I also did a bit of qualitative analysis to see how it exactly was used. So a lot of the English was used in the forms, well, first of all, the names of products or the names of campaigns, as well as a lot of times in background music. And the thing is, though, background music doesn't really play a huge part in presenting what the advertisement wants to show to its audience. So I thought that was really interesting. But also trying to analyze why there may be, even though it was a weak correlation, there was some negative correlation. So to try to see that, I tried to connect it back to past literature that I've seen. And a lot of times it's that people, they see this English and they don't actually know what it means. So South Korea, it is a country that puts a heavy focus on education and learning. So they have the three main subjects, which is Korean, English, and math. And they put a heavy emphasis on English because it is a part of the final very, very big exam in Korea that decides their college. And also some people say that it decides their whole future.
Mm-hmm. I've heard multiple students talk about this test.
Yeah, and so English is something that is very focused on in Korean education that one should know. However, the English that you are taught is not exactly the English that you would use on an everyday basis if you were living in a country that uses English. So it's very grammatical, very textbook English, whereas it's not the same as talking to a person.
Okay.
So a lot of Korean students and young Korean people, while they are very knowledgeable in Korean, they can have very high TOEFL scores and very high scores on their English exams. However, if they were come to a case where they were listening to a Korean song advertisement, a lot of that is not really understandable to them, which could be a reason for some of the negative correlation that I found.
All right. Was there one ad that you watched where... How many ads did you watch total?
I watched 100. So I chose 5 companies and 20 advertisements from each.
Was there any ad that sticks out in your mind now as, wow, that was a really catchy ad? or that you enjoyed because you had to review it multiple times, sort of see what was going on in terms of the content of it. Was there any ad that really stuck out to you as, oh, it was super catchy or really clever? And did that ad use English?
Yeah, there was one ad from a company called SK. And SK, it's a company that does a lot of different things. But this one was specifically for their telecom services and their mobile services. And it was an ad of BTS, actually, from 7 years ago, I think. It was BTS, and there's a solo artist named Jessie. She's Korean-American, so she is from America. And it was kind of the two groups doing a rap diss battle to each other.
About the product?
It was kind of... Well, the product was like a data coupon. So it's these coupons that you can...
A rap diss track about data coupons?
Yeah, so... Well, first of all, the name of the product is in English. And
okay, all right.
It's kind of these little digital coupons that you can give to your friends if they need a little bit more data, kind of in a sense. And it's like Jessie was the person who was not using the service, so she didn't have enough data, whereas BTS did have the service, so they had a lot of data, and they were kind of dissing each other. And then it comes down to like a nice, happy dance battle type of advertisement together. But throughout the whole thing, there was a lot of English. First of all, because the name of the product is in English, and so all the catchphrases were in English too. They used the English, they used a lot of acronyms that they had to explain throughout the songs.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so that one was very memorable.
How long is this ad? Because this sounds like a lot is going on. You got a rap diss battle, you're explaining data coupons where it's like, hey, you're running a little bit low on that phone, like let me help you out. How long is this ad?
I think it was 7 minutes.
It's a 7 minute ad?
Because they have the diss battle and then a whole section like explaining the products, convincing her to use it, then they come together.
So this wouldn't be on Korean television then? You have to...
It was on Korean television.
But so then I must be missing something then, because I think of most of the commercials I'm exposed to in the U.S. are 30 seconds to a minute. They give you a ton of information really quickly. But is a 7 minute ad like this common in South Korea?
It's very variable, because some of the ads that I did look at, they were like 1 minute, 1 minute, 30 seconds. But some of them were up to 10 minutes long. But I think it's because in Korea, while it is similar in the U.S., because a lot of programs are scheduled at certain times to show. However, a lot of these companies are sponsoring these shows. And so it is kind of a way of promotion that is shown like during the show, but it is considered an ad break, if that makes sense.
How intertwined with K-pop were these ads? Because I feel like, again, your original investigation, you wanted to involve them. You just mentioned BTS being in this ad. Were there other instances where other K-pop acts were integrated into these ads for these, you know, they're major international companies?
Yeah, but, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. From the same company, SK Telecom, there was an ad that used the girl group called NewJeans that are very popular right now, especially among young Koreans, like students, which does work for that ad, because it was meant for students who just graduated, who just took the Korean SAT. And so it was kind of a discount promoted towards them. I feel like there were lots of instances of celebrity endorsement.
Okay.
So NewJeans, there was also one with the K-pop group On and Off. There was one with the K-pop group EXO, one with the girl group Twice, and also a lot of actors and actresses were also used.
Oh, wow.
But I think they were all very coordinated very well in using celebrities that are popular with the age groups that the products are aimed at.
So the K-pop act was aligned with whatever the key demo was for the product.
Yeah, I would say so.
Oh, interesting. What are you going to do with this information now that you have it? Again, you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that you're in essentially the major here that is about marketing and business. What did you learn from this, and what do you take away from this project?
Yeah, so marketing is a field that I am really interested in, and it's not something that we explicitly learned in our classes, but I am very interested by it, and I especially want to look into the music industry and how marketing is used in there. And language does play a very part. Linguistics, well, it's involved in everything, but in the sense that I looked at it, seeing how companies could use this information and cut their costs in certain ways. Because there may be strategies that they're using that they think are actually helping them make more money, which in reality may not be. So in the case of English mixing, some companies spend $2 million over per year just on translators alone to make these English and advertisements very accurate. And that is a lot of money that could be going into other things. So using this information to see how marketers and companies could see if there's alternatives for what they're doing to make it more effective for their audiences, I think that would be very interesting to look into going forward.
Awesome. Next steps. Those sound logical and they make sense. Is there any words of advice you would have for people who are considering doing research? And then I'm going to ask you about any words of advice for people looking to get into K-pop, but let's just start with research. Any advice do you have for people looking to get into research?
Just in any field.
In any field. Research? So just thinking about your experience over the last 2 years, what are some words of wisdom you could give them?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is just being interested in what you're researching, because there are some things that are very impressive that I know that I could do, but I would not be interested in whatsoever. So I am not a huge science person, but so I would not have had as much fun or motivation going into a research about science. So definitely the most important thing is just having research on something that you're passionate about and something that you're ambitious and do want to know more about.
That sounds right. And I feel like that passion and that interest is evident in this. It's all over this discussion on your end. I'm a bit of a music nerd, and I feel like what you're describing, back in the 80s, there's this genre called Italo disco, which was in Italy. It was Italian singers and songwriters writing disco music to sound American disco.
Oh, that's
where
interesting.
You can tell they're using, there's some times where my wife's hearing me listen to these songs and she goes, lyrically, that makes no sense. Like, there's nothing, it's just like things get lost in translation, but they don't really care. It's more about the vibe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of what you talked about earlier in the conversation with K-pop, it's sometimes the English language is used and it's like, does it really need to be there, or is it just for that global appeal? And the Italians were definitely doing it to get more global exposure, and why they were moving outside of their own language.
Yeah,
I guess K-pop is experiencing similar things right now as well, just on a much bigger scale.
I would say so, because a lot of times, a lot of people got into K-pop in the first place not because of the lyrics, just because they either like the songs or they like the people singing the song, the K-pop idols themselves, or there was some other aspect of it that they found charming. Where it comes to that, lyrics aren't very important, but it is that when you go to a concert, it is much easier. Like if you go to a concert at Madison Square Garden or somewhere around the world outside of South Korea, it is much easier for the audience to remember the English lyrics over the Korean lyrics.
That's a good point. All right. And like I said, if someone's looking to get into K-pop, what's a good entry point for them?
I think one thing that scares a lot of people away from K-pop is there's a lot of very unique concepts that some groups have. Like, there's this one song from this girl group called Red Velvet called Russian Roulette. And the music video, it's very cutesy, but it's all the members kind of trying to kill one another.
Yeah.
And so I think having a friend near you that understands a lot about K-pop, introducing you to first songs that are similar to what you may be familiar with, because there's a lot of different genres mixed within K-pop. A lot of it does sound like pop that you hear nowadays on the radio, and some of it also does sound like Latino music in a sense. So trying to find something similar to what you're already familiar with, I think that's the easiest way to start kind of rabbit holing your way into the genre.
All right. For those of you who came here for a discussion about marketing, and then by the end were enthralled with how you could get into K-pop, Claire has just laid the path out for you.
Also, if you find someone you think is good looking, that also helps a lot.
You're talking about the K-pop idols themselves?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. There you go. Thank you so much, Claire.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful rest of your day.
And thank you
for listening.
Thank you.